Welcome to the Father's Vineyard Audio Podcast. Here is today's message.
Are you glad to be here? The scriptures say that I was glad when they said unto me, let us go gather together as God's people. And that's what we're doing today, a special time to gather together. There's no other time like it. Amen. You can go to football games, basketball games. You can go to any sport event you want to. But there's nothing like gathering together as the body of Christ. Nothing like it. Can you say amen to that? Well, give the praise team a wonderful praise God for them. Well, they did a wonderful, wonderful job. It's good to have Bob Ducharme with us again. He's back from Baghdad. Was over there about another 6 months or so or something like that. And he's here for another month, and then you're going back again. I tell you, the Lord's really using this man of God. He really is. And aren't you grateful for that? Amen. Oh, it's good. Boy, we got a special day for you today. I told everybody last week, you will not want to miss this Sunday. How many of you remember me saying that? You will not want to miss this Sunday. And I noticed that some of them are missing it. You can tell them about it. How about that? You can call them up and say, you should have been there today. No, it's a wonderful time to come together. It really is. And always great to hear the heartbeat of God in our worship. Because, you know, when we worship, we don't worship church. We don't worship people. We don't worship a denomination. Do we? We worship Him. So our worship is for Him. Say it's all for Him. You know, so some of you may or may not like some of the songs. Well, you know, we didn't really do it for you, but we're glad you participated, though. It's like, but we're here to worship Him. We're here to exalt His name. We're here to make a difference in letting Him know that we're here to be used of Him in any way He so chooses to do so. Amen? So we want to make sure that we feel the heartbeat of God, hear the voice of God, follow the voice of God, and do what He wants us to do. And if we do that, everything's going to be okay. Tell your neighbor, everything's going to be okay when you follow God. Amen. I better go ahead and cut this thing on. I got some slides to do today. I'm going to talk to you today. How many of you know, I'm going to talk to you today about faith, the place where dreams come to life. Faith is the place where dreams come to life. And some of us have stopped dreaming. Some of us have believed. How many of you know that faith comes by hearing? Do you know that you can have faith in the devil? No, Pastor, you can't. Yeah, you can. All you got to do is listen to what he says, have confidence in what he's told you, that you'll never make it, never get there, won't be able to accomplish it, won't be able to do this, you're nothing, you're nothing, you're nothing, and you can have faith, you can have confidence in what he said. But our faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. The word of Christ. What is Christ telling us? What is the Lord telling us? And our faith begins to rise up, and we begin to do things we've never done before, see things we've never seen before. How many of you in your walk with God, you've seen things that you never thought you'd ever see? Wave at me. I want everybody to look around and wave. I want everybody to look around and notice the hands. That you have seen things you thought you'd never see. You've never seen before. I'm telling you, he's a good God. I enjoyed the worship this morning. I felt like people were engaging. The team was engaging not to impress you, not to entertain you, not to do anything for you other than lead you into the place of complete worship before him, unashamed. Everybody say unashamed. Not held back. You know, we're not held back by anything. I want to talk to you about, you know, the thing we talked about at the beginning of the year, that this is a year for the impossibilities to become possible. How many of you remember that? This is the year for your breakthrough. This is the year for your victory. This is the year for your breaking through, not just your breakthrough, but your breaking through. This is the year that 5777 in the Hebrew calendar, that's God's calendar. I always like to go by his calendar. I mean, we have to go by the other one too, but I always like to look at God's calendar. So this is the season where God is telling us the impossibilities are going to be accomplished. Impossibilities are going to be accomplished because he's going to make them possible. He does the impossible for him. Nothing is impossible for him. And if we follow him, listen to him, and do what he wants us to do, guess what? We'll be able to accomplish what? The impossible. Pause, meditate, reflect. You're capable of doing the impossible. Amen? Amen. Amen. I want you to look at this. It's Ephesians 3:20. You can go there if you like. Ephesians 3:20 says, "Now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us." Do you believe that? No. Do you believe that?
Yes.
No. Do you believe that? Unto him, now to him, who is able to do what? Exceedingly, abundantly, beyond all that we ask or think, or all can be done according to the power that is outside us, the power that is working within us. Say, there's a power working within me to do exceedingly abundantly beyond what I ask and what I think. I like this translation that's out of the Message, and here it's what it says. God can do anything. I like that. God can do anything. God can do anything, you know. It's like a line in a movie. I've been around, you know. You know, God can do anything, you know, for more, far more than you could ever, what? Imagine. Far more than you could, what? Imagine. Far more than you could guess or think about. Far more than what you request in your, what? Wildest. Somebody say wildest dreams. He goes on, he says, He does it not by pushing us around. You know, the presentation of God in some cases, God's going to make you do this and make you do that. He just sort of throws his weight around. No, God leads us by his Spirit. He wants us to be a willing people to follow him. If he wanted to start mandating things, he would have done that in a garden and would never been in this mess. But he gave them a free will. He gave them a choice. He wanted them to voluntarily follow him. And he wants you and I to volunteer. So he don't push us around. But he works within us, his Spirit, deeply and gently within us. I like that, don't you? God can do anything, you know. Man, that ought to be something we ought to catch that phrase that God can do anything, you know. You can walk up to somebody and say, God can do anything, you know. Go to the places of business and your community or wherever it is that you're going, and God can do anything, you know. No, I don't know. Well, let's watch him and see. Let's believe him. Let's trust him and see. Anything you can imagine, he says, I can top that. He didn't get this. Anything that you can imagine, I can top that. I can do exceedingly beyond what you can imagine. I can do exceedingly beyond what you can think about. I can do exceedingly beyond your wildest dreams. Whoa. So what are we doing at a level like such as we are when we have a God who says, I'm capable of doing it all. I can do the impossible. Just find out what impossible things he wants to do through you. Amen? You ought to ask him, God, what impossible thing do you want to do through me? You ought to ask him that. And then take note of what he tells you. Without a dream to pursue, life quickly becomes uninspiring, monotonous, and uneventful at best. Have you ever had a season in your life, a span of time in your Christian life, that it's like you look back and a few years has gone by and you wonder, what happened? You just wonder, saying, I've been a Christian for this long, and here's this season. I'm still at the same place I was at 3 years ago. Anybody ever been there? That's because we're uninspired by the dreams that God has put within us. Inside each one of us, there's a dream deep inside us that God wants to bring out and use you to complete and fulfill. That's the truth. I'm telling you the truth. Within us, there's a mighty power, the resurrection power, the very Holy Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead resides in you if you're a believer. He's the one that can do it all. He's the one that can lead us through it all. He's the one who can accomplish all these things through us, in us, and through us. So I don't want our life to be uninspiring, monotonous. Have you ever been bored with life? Yeah. Wave at me. If you've ever been to that place, that's the natural life. That's the life of the natural. That's the life of the flesh. That's the life. I mean, you just get bored with it. And you scratch your head and wonder where God's at. And he'll whisper to you and say, I'm with you. I'm just not active in you. Because you won't let me. He's never left you, even when we feel bored. We're just not connected to him. We're not connected to the life or the dream that he's put within us. You know, God's at work. God can do, everybody say, turn to somebody and say, God can do miracles. And I'm going to see them.
We're sitting here.
Yeah, there's a miracle sitting right there. How many of you believe that miracles have happened in your life and you didn't know it till later? I should have died 3 times. I'm telling you, in my life, I was near death 3 different times in my whole life. And look at me, he's here today. Why? Because God said, not his appointed time. You know, Mariah's appointed time was just the other day, but she left an impact. She left a mark for inspiration upon this body and those that knew her through the family. I'm telling you, God is a good God. Everybody say, God is a good God. He is a good Father. He is a good God. Let's see. Let's read this. That's hard for me to see. These lights. Okay. The future belongs to those who believe in the beauty of their dreams. So the future belongs to you. If you believe in the beauty, if you have enough faith in what he's telling you, the beauty of the dreams that he's given you, the future belongs to you. Boy, I like that, don't you? Here's another one. You're never too old. Boy, I like that verse. You're never too old to set another goal or to dream a new dream. Mama Milam, how old are you? You are 80. Yes. You're 90. You're 90 years old. Well, start dreaming, honey. Keep on dreaming. I know you're dreaming. Keep on dreaming. There's dreams, even with us with age, there's dreams that God wants to give us that he wants us to be able to impart to other people. You know, your dreams are not just for you. Your dreams are to glorify him and to help others. No matter what, your dream should be to glorify him and to help others. All right, so you're never too old for that. Doubt kills more dreams than failure ever will. Read that again. Everybody read that. Doubt. If you fail, you just do what? Get up and go again. Right? If you doubt, you never get up. You don't do anything because there's so much doubt and unbelief. It's a dream killer. Oh, I can't do that. You know who we're following? You know who we got more confidence in? We got more confidence in the whispers of the accuser than we do the gentle whispers of our Savior. He whispers in our ear and he wants us to move beyond where we currently are and believe him for greater things than we've ever believed him for. Dream big, work hard, never stop believing that anything is possible. Everything is possible with God. I read another quote, I didn't put it up, and then another quote that said, the distance between dreams and reality is a faith in action. The distance between dreams and reality is faith in action. Believing and working at what we're believing in. How many of you know your faith must have works? Wave at me. My faith must be a working faith. Otherwise, it's dead. You know, there's a saying faith. You can have faith. You say you have faith. Because James talked about it. He says, you say you have faith, but you don't work. You say you have faith, but you're not working. Your faith is dead, but you say. So there's a say you have faith. There's a lot of people that say they have faith, but they're not working. So what kind of faith is that? Dead. The faith that God gives us, the measure of faith that God gives us is a living faith. And it's a faith in a living one. The one who does the impossible. The ones who can make all the dreams come true. The dreams that he's put deep inside you. The ones he wants to bring to life. Faith is what brings your dreams to life. Trusting in the living God. And it may take time, it may take some years, but it says faith and through faith and patience, you inherit the promises. You know, I've told you before, I've seen a lot of faith movements, but I've never seen many patient movements. We need a patient movement. We need to be able to, how can we do this thing about patience? Well, patience comes when your faith is under fire. Well, I don't know that I want that. Well, then you're not going to have patience. Faith under fire will bring you some endurance, some perseverance, and some patience. That true? I'm telling you the truth. What's the next one? Let your dreams be bigger than your fears and your actions be louder than your words. Say, I needed that. Let your dreams be bigger than your fears. Let your actions be louder than your words. If you want to make your dreams come true, the first thing to do is what? Wake up. What in the world does that mean? It means after you've had this dream, get up. Don't be a dreamer who just dreams without accomplishing what you've dreamed about. What he's put in you. Get up, wake up. That's the reason I honestly believe the church in this era is waking up. Do you believe it? How many of you believe there's a stirring in this house since the first of the year? How many of you know that? How many of you believe that? It's happening. It is happening. Why? God stirs. See, there's appointment of times. And he wants us to endure things and go through things to strengthen us as we go through them so our faith can be stronger, our faith can be better, and we can believe him for what? Anything. Believe him for anything. What's next? The only place where your dream becomes impossible is in your own thinking. If you think it's impossible, it'll be impossible for you. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So we have to change the way we think about things. Why should we? Because he said, what you think about, even in alignment with me, he said, what you think about, I can go beyond what you think about. Right? What you think about? What are you thinking about? What's some of your dreams? What are you asking him for? He said, beyond what you ask me for, I can go way beyond. what you're asking me for. Everybody say, way beyond what you're asking him for. So the only time your dream becomes impossible is when it's in your thinking. If you think it's impossible, it's going to be impossible. Oh, we can't do that. Well, why not? We've never done it that way before. Well, guess what? It's a new day, a new way. As long as he's the way. You know, he never healed anybody. Jesus never healed anybody the same way. He healed people differently. Spit, made mud, spoke, laid. I mean, you just think about it. You know, if I'd have been there and we see spit and made mud, I'd have got me some dirt and started spitting and started rubbing mud and said, hey, man, that's the way you do it. Why? Because you're dependent upon that. We're so subject to being hooked in by the moment of something and saying, that is the way. No, that isn't. He is. That isn't he is. That isn't the way. He is the way. He may tell you to do something different next time. He may give you a dream that is beyond your wildest imagination, and all he wants you to do is step out in faith and have an active faith that's going to bring this thing to possibilities. He's looking for people that he can work through to bring the greatness of who he is through you so that people can see dreams come true because you stepped out and believed, and it will impact others because they knew it was God when they see it fulfilled. That's him. It's all for him. It's glory. It's his glory. All our dreams can come true if we have the courage to pursue them. We've got to pursue the dreams. We've got to start actively being engaged with them. If your dreams don't scare you, they're not big enough. If your dream that you have doesn't scare you, it's not big enough. You know, if you start looking at things, I wrote this thing down. It says, if you can accomplish your dreams without God's assistance, then your dreams were way too small. If you can accomplish them without God's assistance, your dreams were way too small. God's much bigger than that. Have you ever been a task? Have you ever been given a task and it was beyond your capability of doing it? How many of you have ever had one? Yeah. You know why you was able to accomplish it? God stepped in. He was the one that can do beyond your ability. He just needs somebody to work through. So if your dreams don't scare you, they're not big enough. Here's a good one. Don't downgrade your dream just to fit your reality. Upgrade your conviction to match your destiny. Well, I love that. Don't downgrade your dream. Don't downgrade this thing that God has put in you just to make sure it matches reality. No, he said, what does he say? Upgrade your belief. Upgrade your faith in believing and having a conviction that God's told you something and it's going to match your destiny. Is that good? That is good. Well, I got something to tell you. That's the introduction. This verse that we've been talking about, we like to read it and we like to quote it, but you know there's the whole thing about the context of the passages that we need to look at. How do we get to this place of the abundantly, exceedingly abundantly above? How do we get to that place? Some of us are not experiencing. Well, the Bible in verses before that, in 9 verses before that, starting in verse 11, I'm going to read to you out of the Passion Translation. So you won't be able to. So if you just sort of follow me, just write it down and don't try to follow me because it's going to be different in what you're looking at. But I want you to listen to this. This perfectly wise plan was destined through eternal ages and fulfilled completely in our Lord Jesus Christ. So that now we have boldness through him. Number one, what? We must have boldness through him. And he says, we have free access as kings before the Father. We have boldness to come before him. We have boldness to go before God. Why? Because of Jesus, not because of your own merit. How many of you can ever work hard enough, be good enough to ever go before Christ, I mean, ever go before the Father without Christ being the paver? None of us can get there. So it's through him that we're able to approach God. It's through him that we'll be able to have access as kings. You know, we're kings and priests on this earth. You know that, don't you? So here we are, kings and priests, and we go before the King of Kings. Everybody say the King of Kings. So we're king. He's made us kings and priests on this earth, but we can go before bold. Everybody say the word boldly. Boldly. And if we're not going boldly, then we're missing the mark on the abundant. So we got to be able to go boldly before him. Have access to him because of our faith, our complete confidence in Christ's faithfulness. The reason we can go that, because we reason we can go before God is because we have complete confidence in what Jesus has done for us to pave the way with his blood and his life, his death, and his resurrection for us to be able to walk right up to God as his children, as kings and priests on this earth. Because we have confidence. Then it says, my dear friends, I pray that you will remain strong and not be discouraged or ashamed by the things that I'm suffering, because what I'm going through is for your glory. Did y'all get that? What you go through with the opposition of your dreams is for the glory of other people. They are able to see you go through the bad situations, the tight situations, the tragedies, and how you, I'm telling you, I watched the McAfee family, the Somerville family, as they go through the loss of their child. I watched them, I listened to them, I listened to what they're saying, and it is for my glory. Listen, why? Because it impacted my life. How they responded with the grace and the mercy and the love and the peace of God, allowing him to come and just be what they need during that time. And they just surrender to him, knowing that they've lost a child. And I see that, and I'm reminded of this verse. He said, don't be discouraged when you see me go through things. He said, because they're going through this for our glory. Why? Because we're seeing Christ at work. And it's impacting how we think and how we believe. And it's impacting what we believe about God. So don't think just because you're not on cloud nine and just because you're not on the hilltop that you're not influencing. You're influencing people when you're at your lowest low. When you're at the bottom of the heap, you're influencing people. So don't waste it on the mully grubs and the complaining and the murmuring. Don't waste it. Let it be something that glorifies other people. What the glory? It brings character to others to see you walk with God in a way of believing him no matter what you're going through. Oh man, that's good. He said, so then, I think of wisdom of his plan, the wisdom of God's plan. I kneel humbly in awe before the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ. The perfect father in every way to every father and child in heaven and on earth. And I pray that, watch this, and I pray that he would pour over you. Listen to this. This is a prayer for you. I pray that he would pour over you the unlimited riches of his glory and favor. So God is pouring over you the unlimited resource of his God, of his glory and his favor. Pouring it out on you until your supernatural strength floods you in your innermost being with divine might and explosive power. Boy, I love that. Then he says, then by constantly using your faith, not just every once in a while, constantly using your faith, the life of Christ will be released deep inside you. Well, he didn't say you would get it. He said it would be released. Don't you want the life of Christ to be released from you? to be let out. Don't you want that? That should be our purpose, that the life of Christ should just flow out of our lives every moment. He goes on and says it's a resting place of his love, the very source and root of your life, providing you with a secure foundation that continues to grow. I read another quote that said, when you have built your dreams, when you have built your castles in the clouds, start building the foundation for them to come through. Build it on faith. Then, he says, then, as your spiritual strength increases, you will be empowered to discover your dreams. You will be empowered to discover your dreams, to discover what every saint experiences, which is the love that is so deep and so broad. How intimate is his love? Endless love beyond measurement, beyond academic knowledge. This extravagant love pours into you until you are filled with the overflowing fullness of God. I don't matter when you were born again, God's purpose is for you to experience in this life the fullness of God flowing out of you. That's his purpose. And he's going to love you. He's going to love us regardless. We've got to stop listening to the enemy say this and say that and do this and do that. We just got to shut that off and listen to him because he loves us. Then he says this. Now, have faith. Never doubt God's mighty power to work in you to accomplish all of this. He will achieve infinitely more than your greatest request. Infinitely more than your most unbelievable dream. Exceedingly beyond and above your wildest imagination. He will outdo them all. For his miraculous power is constantly energizing you. You know, it all starts with a dream. If you don't have the dream, you don't have a vision. And if you don't have a vision, you're going to flounder. Because without a vision, his people perish. We've got to start learning to dream again. We've got to start learning to think again. 43 years ago, O.A. and Charlotte Fish had a dream about a camp for the youth of this community, reaching young people by a camp. Been doing it 43 years, hadn't been in debt a single time. 43 years. Following his dream. Still at it. Still winning people. Still winning them. They don't even, some of them come and don't even have money to pay. And God provides. Why? He had a dream. And he believed God for it. And God has done exceedingly abundantly above what him and Charlotte ever dreamed of. Right? Am I telling the truth? All right, they're shaking their heads right. You know, they're doing a wonderful work and still at it, still going. 22 years ago, Terry and Sherry Hageman had a dream. What was their dream? To take care of the homeless, to feed people, to care for people that don't have a place to lay down and don't have a place, don't have food to eat. 22 years. Everybody say 22 years. 22 years. They're still doing it. They're still doing it. Here a while back, they had another part of their dream to come and say, we got to have a house to enlarge the thing with the women's ministry, that the women that they're ministering to, they just need more space. They need more room. They need more space. We gotta do something. They came and actually talked to us about some property that we had, and we just kept praying for them and kept looking to see what God, what are you saying? What are you saying? What are you saying? And everybody say February the 10th. Say it loud. February the 10th, they had this house. There was this house that had a lien on it. They had this house that had a second mortgage on it, and it was exactly what they needed, and it was available, and didn't have no money. Didn't have enough money to take care of it. But on February the 10th, They closed on the deal, got the house, got the land, and owed zero money. Why? They had a dream. And they never stopped believing that God... Terry, hang on, I'm telling you, he's one that stretches my faith. He stretches me beyond. Y'all heard me tell the other week, you know, things got bad in 2000. And I mean, it got tight in 2007, 2008. It got very tight. I mean, economy plummeted, and we'll talk about that. But it plummeted in just financial crisis global. It was global financial crisis. We meet and say, okay, guys, I meet with the elders and say, listen, you know, here's where we are, and we probably need to look at cutting these expenses. And done. Said, you know, Terry Hagman leans back, folds his arms, and puts his hand up on his. He said, I got an idea. I said, what is that? He said, I believe the Lord wants us just to increase our giving. I leaned over and wanted to tell Doug Logan, hit him real hard to wake him up. I mean, hit him real hard because that man's asleep. He's sleepwalking and sleep talking. But all of a sudden, faith begins to fill the room. The presence of God begins to just show up in unanimous. I'm telling you what, you have got some wonderful elders here at this house. Wonderful. They're not icons. Anyway. Wonderful men. So instead of cutting, we start giving more. You know what? It is just awesome how God puts things together. Can you get that other slide? I'm sort of done. Get that other thing up. I'm done with this one. I know I've got more on it, but we're time's running out. Let's see. Have we got the other one ready? We had a dream here. Still have dreams. There you are. I want to show you something here. We had a dream. Watch this. 93, we bought some land across the street. 95, we bought some McDonald land and got more land. And then we bought the Matheny house. And then in 2001, we built the Family Life Center for our youth. And then we got up there and got $813,000 in debt. And from 93 to 05, the congregation, listen to this. This is the faithfulness of God's people giving. You, others that are not here now, but you gave to make this possible. And in 2005, we dropped the debt down to $400,000. And then God spoke, we felt like God spoke to us. And the thing about the Kmart building, and we bought the Kmart building. And so in 2005, we went $1.2 million in debt. Boy, things were moving. Things were going. A lot of things were happening. And then in 2007, 2008, the economy plummeted. The financial crisis came. The struggle happened. But you never stopped giving. You never stopped believing. You never stopped being faithful. And in the process of all of that, we see that the elders made another decision in April 2012. The best thing we can do is get out of debt because of where the economy is at. And somebody asked me, said, well, do you think we made a mistake buying the Kmart building? You know what I said? No, we make plans, but God orders his steps. Is that true? So somebody said, well, did the leadership miss God in buying that? I said, well, let's analyze it. Let's look at it and see. In those 12 years, we gave away winter clothes to the community, not just to the community, for 6 years. We fed hungry people through angel food in the community for 4 years. We had worship rallies. We had concerts. We had community events. We had bike rallies that helped the needy. We had all of those things happening all on that property. It was used by the community. It was used by Duke Power. It was used by other churches that wanted a bigger venue to be able to do. It was used in the community. And through those 12 years, over 1,500 decisions were made for Christ. Yeah. If that's missing God, I don't mind missing him. So no, we didn't miss God. We did what we're supposed to do. But God set the pace of what we're supposed to do. So we look at this thing and we say, and then your giving began, and all the way from 2005 to 2017. And then December, then upon this thing of 2012, we need to get out of debt. So we prayed, sought God, said, okay, God, this thing's impossible for us. But I know it's possible that you're going to do it. And we kept believing it. So here we are, 2012. We sold the land to ICC. Now the college has, how many more acres, Charlie? How many acres they have? 17, there it is, 17 acres, so they can expand, so the community can be improved by that. And then in June 2016, we had a contract for the Kmart building, and the first payment was $200,000. And then, does anybody remember the date in February that the grace of God got the building? February what? Say it again. On February the 10th, we got our last payment. On the same day that Terry Hageman signed and got his house, the same day that we got the last $600,000 payment, and today, by February the 10th, 2017, Father's Vineyard is now debt-free. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. Yes, he deserves the honor, the glory. I want the praise team to come up. We're going to, praise team come up. We're going to do the coming out of Egypt. And what we're going to do, I got a surprise for you. Everybody listen up. Don't nobody leave. Say, he's not through. He's not through. We're going to leave here in just a few minutes and go outside. And I want to tell you, we have Andy Cobb. He told me, he said, I'm not looking for recognition, I just want to be there. He's our banker. Been our banker for years. I'm talking about years. But, you know, he goes way beyond being our banker. He is our brother and our friend and our partner in ministry. He helped us gain the Family Life Center for our youth facility. He helped us gain the Kmart with all the things that we were able to accomplish in over 1,500 people accepting Christ. When we got to this place of getting out of debt, I've never seen a banker that likes to loan money to get interest money and make money get so happy when we say we're getting out of debt. I mean, he says, I want to be there when you celebrate. Really, I mean, because he's a brother, he attends Adaville. We love him dearly, and he's a wonderful part of the ministry here. And we are going to feed, everybody say feed.
Feed.
We are going to feed everybody, barbecue, chicken, barbecue, pork. We're going to go eat after we burn. We're going to burn it, Andy. We're going to step outside. We're going to burn this promissory note. And a reference to God's freedom. And we have come out of the bondage of indebtedness. We are now debt free. More money can go to ministries. More money can do greater things. I'm telling you, our greatest days are in front of us. So, all the visitors, I want you to come and join us. Please come and join us. Sit down with us. And we'd love to tell you some more about the story and the history here of what God's done for us and how he's lifted our spirits and how he's built what he's built here. And we probably have this acreage and buildings probably worth $1 million, close to it, maybe a little bit over. Then we have more land across the street that's probably worth about $500,000. I'm telling you, God is good. We had the dream. We had the dream that he could get us out of debt if we just brought it to him and said, help us get out of debt. That's the direction we need to go. And the elders prayed and sought, and we came up with that decision and felt like it was God. And here we are today after $1.2 million in 2005, and here we are today debt-free.
Yeah.
All right. Praise God. I want everybody to stand. We're going to celebrate. And then right after that, we're going to step outside and burn this promissory note. And then we're all going to go down to the Family Life Center and eat. Please don't go. Please join us. We want you to come and join us. We got food for everybody. Are you ready? Coming out of Egypt. One, two, three.
Thank you for listening to the Father's Vineyard podcast. If you'd like more information about Father's Vineyard, please visit us 24/7 at www.fathersvineyard.org, or you can call the office at 828-287-2868. Thanks again.